Today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Bet. We're going to start at Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Bet at the bottom. I won't be teaching for the next 2 days, but maybe I'll see. Maybe I'll be able to post Wednesday. If I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. Okay. Today's the Bat Kohen daf, at least the beginning, for all those Bat Kohanim, including myself included. Ula havayativ matanta lekahanta. He would give the matanot kuna to a Bat Kohen. Etive Rava Leula. Rava said, "What are you doing, Ula?" It says, "Okay." Brings this source. Minchat kohen neechelet. Minchat kohen ena neechelet. If you remember the minchat kohen, we learned this a long time ago. Menachot. It says, "Kol minchat kohen kalil tiye." Any mincha that kohen brings, the meal offering, has to be entirely burned. So, but we know that the mincha of a bat kohen does get eaten. So how can you say that a bat kohen, okay, we're going to assume now, if we can give a bat kohen matnot kuna, then and these are two different things, but we're assuming if we're treating her like a kohen for that purpose, then when it comes to the mincha, we should be treating her also like a kohen.
Married or not married bat kohen?
That's a good question. So it seems, yeah, it's definitely even married. First of all, Rashi says it here, bat kohen afilu eshadish, and we're going to see later that it's clear that they thought even if she's married. Okay, which is interesting, because normally people say once a bat kohen that's married, kind of loses her status. So, right. So this sugya is fascinating, because it breaks all of our assumptions about bat kohen. I always remember, you know, once I got married, it was like, okay, you've got nothing except that, you know, you'll get strafe if you go viznud with somebody else, of which isn't exactly the most positive thing to be left with a bat kohen. So here goes. So, he says, but minchat kohen ne'echelet, it does get eaten. You eat, remember the mincha? You burn part of it, and then you get to eat the leftovers, the shirayim. But minchat kohen ena ne'echelet, the iamar kohen v'apilu kohenet, if you're going to say the word kohen in the pasuk includes even a bat kohen, v'haktiv v'chol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'echel. So how could you possibly say that we could eat the mincha of a bat kohen, and yet we're allowed to give her matanot? So amale rebi mitunach. It's exactly what you're trying to prove. I can prove it. You're questioning from the mincha. I'm going to show you that that's proof, Ula says, that the bat kohen can eat. Why? Because that case is different. What does it say in that case? Aharonu banav k'tuvim b'parsha. There it says, Aharonu banav. If it says Aharonu banav, then it's obvious it just means the males. So when it says Aharonu banav by the mincha, okay, you might, we'll see. The Gemara is going to argue at that point in a minute. But Ula says, if you're going to say, where it says Aharonu banav by the mincha, so the bat kohen is treated differently from the kohen. But in our sugya, it just says kohen. Kohen should include even a bat kohen, again, even if she's married. So then we're going to see this source. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, kohen velo kohenet. Here's the opposite opinion, which is in the right of Rabbi Yishmael. They said, we're going to say here, kohen velo kohenet, and then we're going to learn a case, like in our case, in the Matanot, where it doesn't specify Aharon u'Banav. That's called satum. It's unspecified. We're going to learn that from the Meforash. This is what you want, say Naomi. There it said, kohen and Aharon u'Banav, and it meant just the males, because it said Aharon u'Banav. Therefore, here, when it says kohen and it doesn't specify which one, we're going to learn it out from the other case where it did say Aharon u'Banav and it's only males. Tebei Rav Elezer ben Yaakov Tana, kohen v'afilu kohenet. He says, no, we're going to learn specifically in our case, kohen and even a bat kohen. Why? Because havi mi'ut achar mi'ut, ve'em mi'ut achar mi'ut, ela l'rabot. What does it say by our pasuk? V'ze yeh mishpat ha-kohanim, me'et ha'am, me'et zav chaya zevach im shor im seh, v'natam la-kohen, hazra l'chayam v'keva. Notice it started with kohanim, and then it ended with kohen. So here you have kohen specifically, that's a mi'ut achar mi'ut, where we kind of narrow it down to one particular type of person. Whenever we have a mi'ut and then another mi'ut, right, two double negatives make a positive. So what do we see here? Right, or two negatives, not two double negatives. A double negative makes a positive. So what do we see here? It includes the bat kohen. Okay, so we now have this debate. Can a bat kohen eat the, can you give her the matanot or not? Now we get to something even more fascinating. Rav Kahana achal b'shvil ishto. He was not a kohen, and he ate the matanot based on the fact that he was married to a bat kohen. Not only can you You could give it to a Yisrael who's married to a Bat Kohen, and he would eat the matanot of the meat and basically say, well, you know, on account of my wife. Rav Papa achal b'shvil ishto. Rav Yemer achal b'shvil ishto. Rav Idi bar Avin achal b'shvil ishto. We have a good lineup of rabbis who were all married to Benot Kohen who ate based on the fact that their wives were Benot Kohen. So here it's not only can you give it to her, but it sounds like you can even give it to a man who's married to a woman who's a Bat Kohen because of that. Okay, it's very interesting here, this whole issue. And there was something, one second. There's some sugya, right? So Rashi says that Rav Kahana was a Yisrael and Ishto was a Kohen. There's a problem with a sugya in Kiddushin, I think it is, where Rav Kahana, one second, it says that Rav Kahana in Kiddushin took on Kiddushin Dabchet, it says he took Hamishas La'im Shal Pidyon Ben. Okay? Which sounds like, if you connect it with the sugya, it sounds like not only for Matnot Kiuna. Now the question is, we have Ula, who said Kohen means even Kohenet, which would mean that any time it says Kohen and it doesn't specify Aron Ubanav, that would include a Bat Kohen. On the other hand, we have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who said it's a mi'ud achar mi'ud, and because it's a mi'ud achar mi'ud, then it would only apply specifically to Matnot Kuna. So we have one opinion, this is Barabi Ishmael, who says we're going to learn it from Satumin and Mefarash, and we're going to say only Kohanim and not Benot Kohen. But within the Benot Kohen, we have two approaches. One is it's unique for this halacha, and one is it's not unique for this halacha. It's anytime it says Kohen and it doesn't say Aron Ubanav, that includes a Bat Kohen, which then leads us to say Pidyon HaBen, a female, right? She could do it, or even her husband could do it on her behalf. Just fascinating. Now, Rashi says, we hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which means it would only be specific to here. So how does he deal with Rav Kahana in the other sugya? So he'll say that Rav Kahana isn't the same Rav Kahana, and that Rav Kahana was a Kohen. First of all, interesting, his name is Kahana. Exactly. You're particularly sensitive to that being a Kahana. So, right. But Kahana was probably his first name. It's not so clear that he was... Obviously, from this sugya, he wasn't a Kohen, but maybe there were two Rav Kahanas, and then that sugya doesn't contradict, and that was actually, he was a Kohen. So it's very interesting whether you would take this even farther. Amar Ravina, Amarli Mareimar, Mareimar told me, Hilcha Takavate de Rav, that was from yesterday. Remember we saw Rav's opinion that, that we're misupakim about the Levi, whether he has to give it or not, and therefore we don't force him to give, but we also can't give him the matanot. And Hilchada Kavate Rav Chista, that if you damage the matanot or eat them, you don't have to reimburse the Kohen. And Vihilchada Kavate de Ula. And we paskin like Ula, that in fact the Bat Kohen is allowed to eat the matanot, or you can even give to a Yisrael if his wife is a Bat Kohen. We also paskin like Rav Ada bar Ahava, who lost that. Where's Rav Ada bar Ahava? About this. All right, sorry, we haven't read it yet. About the following thing, which is also really interesting. Liviyasha yalda binat patur michamesh sla'im. Now we're jumping to a different topic, but the similarity is the Bat Levi. The Bat Levi, just like a Levi, doesn't have to do Pidyon HaBen. If you're the daughter of a Levi and you have a firstborn son, you don't have to do a Pidyon HaBen. We know this halacha to be the case, but what's really interesting here is if you look at Rashi, he says, okay, he quotes the Gemara in Bechorot, and he basically says, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but there's a machloket amoraim in Bechorot about whether a Bat Levi, we paskin that a Bat Levi, you don't have to do a Pidyon HaBen. Why? Because Peter Rechem, right? It's based on her Rechem. Even though in many things, when it comes to Shvatim, we go by the father, in this case, not. So I never knew this. There's a machloket in Bechorot that whether it's only in a case where she gets pregnant from a non-Jew, then you don't follow the father. But when you get pregnant from a Jew, then it follows the father, and she's not p'tuah from Pidyon HaBen. So there's a machloket about it. We paskin that it's even if she gets pregnant from a Jew. But there's a machloket and moraim about whether this p'tur for the bat levit from pidyon haben is only when there is no father. If you look at the very last line in Rashi, it says, batar avaz lina lev, chayav. Obviously, you're going to go by the father if there's a father to go by. If there's no father to go by, then we'll go by her. It's very interesting. But we don't paskin that way. But okay, so that was the bat kohen, bat levi sugya. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Hazrov al chayim v'keva nohagin b'kilayim u'bikoy. Sound familiar? Right? We had this before, that it's going, they're relevant not only in, right, we said animals, behemot and achayot, but also in crossbred animals. That means between two domesticated animals, and in the koi. Now remember the koi, it was a whole, we're going to talk about, we'll go back to koi in a minute. Rabbi Elazar omer, kilayim haba mina ezu mina rachel, chayav b'matanot. But min ha, a different nusach here, one sec. What should it be? It should be minatayish u minatzviyah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Minatayish u minatzviyah. Okay, remember this? What's the tayish is the behemah, and it's the mother is a chaya. Then patur min matanot. Remember this? Because if the mother is a chaya, then we're going to treat it like a chaya, and there's no chiyuv. Michti kaim alan dilinyan kisay adam matanot. Lo mishkacha la'ela b'tzviya ba'ala tiyasha. Uben l'Rabbi Elazar, uben l'Rabbanan misapka l'hu. Remember we said this whole debate about a koi is only if it's a tzvi with a tiyasha, where the mother is a behema. That's when they have a machloket. And then, what did we say? Whether you're Rabbi Elazar or whether you're Rabbanan, right? Both of them misapka l'hu. What's their whole safek? I choshashin l'zer ha'av, I ein choshashin. Okay, we have the mother is a behema, and the father is a chaya, okay? So the whole question is, do we just view it as a behema, en choshashin lezer ha'av, or are we choshashin that there's also part chaya here, okay? So then what are we going to say? Then what are we going to say? U'b'seh afilu miksat seh kamiflegeh. In other words, the question is, do you say seh, v'afilu miksat seh, then when we say something behemah related, do we mean behemah and not, I'm sorry, seh, v'afilu miksat seh, even if it only has part behemah. So even if choshashin lezera ha'av, and there is a chaya here, it doesn't really matter because what do we say? Seh, v'afilu miksat seh, which means this can be judged like a behemah. Because even if you count the father, it doesn't really matter, because as long as it's part behemah, that's sufficient. And that's their machloka. Do we say, b'seh afilu miktzatzeh kamiflege? Mar savar seh afilu miktzatzeh. So if you say that, then you're going to include the behemah. Mar savar seh afilu miktzatzeh lo amrina. Right? We don't say this. So now, bishlema l'Rabbi Eliezer, de patar, kasavar seh lo miktzatzeh. So then we can understand Rabbi Elazar's opinion here. What did he say? You're putter because he says, sevilomiksatseh, which means it has to be 100% behemah. Now remember, if you only count the mother, that it is 100% seh. But if you count both of them, and you say, maybe we have to be choshesh for zera ha'ah, then, and you say, sevilomiksatseh, it has to be 100% seh, this is not necessarily 100% seh, and therefore you're going to be patur. Ela l'Rabbanan nihi nami de kasavre seva filu miksatze. But now, according to Rabbanan, let's say we say seva filu miksatze. What's the problem? So, you have a behema, so it's going to be okay. You can be mechayev this b'matanot. However, the animal is only 50% behema. Now, we don't care if it's 50%, we can still be mechayev you. However, what's the problem? There's another 50% that's suffic. Remember, they both say, do we worry about Zera Ha'av or not? The fact that you can be Mechayev and Matanot, for sure you can. But you can only be Mechayev and Matanot 50% for sure. This side of the Chaya side is a Safek, are we Choshesh to Zera Ha'av or not? Which means it's not clear whether you're going to be Chayev that 50%. Now, when you're talking about Dine Mamonot, so what do we say? Hamotzi Mechevero Alav Haraya. The other side has to prove it. So if we're going to say that this is the same machloket as they had before, the way we explained the machloket back in Daf Pei and Pei Gimel of the Masechet, what are we going to say here? We're going to say you should only have to pay half. Okay? So because of that, they're going to say palga lishkol. He should only have to pay half because only half of it is for sure you have to pay. The other is, are we choshesh for the father or not? Right? Do we? If minutes. If you're choshesh for the father, then you're not chayav to give matanot. Remember, you view this animal as 50-50. So 50 of the chaya, you don't have to. Or maybe we say, no, we're not choshesh zera ha'av, which means we view this animal as 100% behemah. And if we view it as 100% behemah, because it all goes by the mother, this is kind of similar to the previous thing about who it goes by, it all goes by the mother, and therefore you'd be chayav. So that's your debate here. So therefore you should only pay half. V'idach palga, and on the other half, right, and the kohen could take half, but the other half, lemale, you could say to him, Aiteraya de Inchoshin Lizarav, Ushko, prove to me that we for sure don't count the father, in which case we'll call it 100% behemah. Prove that to me, and then you can take the money. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, my chayav nami de ka'amar, chayav b'chatzi matanot. When it says chayav here, it really means your chayav chetzi. We had this exact same thing in the earlier sugya when we had this last time. Matev Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira says, how can you say that? Look at this source. Koi yesh bo drachim shavin lebehema, v'yesh bo drachim shavin lechaya, v'yesh bo drachim shavin lechaya ulebehema. Okay, this is your classic, you know, structure. It could be like this, it could be like that, it could be like that. Ketzad, chelbo asur kachelev behema. The chelev is asur, just like a behema. V'damo chayav lechaso kidam chaya, right? These are all things that are specific. Oda chayot, right? Your kisoy adam is only for chayot, and your chayav to cover the blood. Now remember, those two are 100% because we're going to just be machmir, right? We're going to say it's not like a financial thing. We're financial, we can say there's two sides. Drachim shavin lebehema ulechaya, shedamo v'gidyo asurin ki behema v'chaya. We're going to have the gid and hashe and the blood, which are both relevant for both behemot and chayot, so that's obvious. The koi is going to be relevant for that. V'chaya b'zra lechayayim v'akeva. Okay, and then we're chayav and zra lechayayim in keva. It should say kib behema. Right now we're back to how is it similar to behema? Because you're chayav in the matanot. V'Rabbi Eliezer poter. Now again, what do you see here? He said you're chayav, and he said you're patur, and he didn't say you're chayav chetzi. So that seems to contradict what we just said. V'imita chayav bechetzi matanot mebayale. So how do they obviously answer here? This is just a simple literary structure. I did itani chelbo v'damo delo matne chetzi chetzi. All the other cases weren't half-half. You don't pour half the blood. You don't can't eat half the chelev, right? All those were 100%. So this one, they just didn't start specifying chetzi. Okay? It was just because it didn't fit with the rest of the cases in the Mishnah, but obviously they meant chetzi, or bright, actually. Ki ata Ravan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, koil Rabbanan chayav bekulu matanot. According to Rabbanan, he says, okay, against what we just said, that you're only chayav half, he says you're actually chayav to pay, to give all the matanot. Ditanya. Sure. Matamud lomar im sure. 1 second. Chayav, oh no, sorry. This means, I think, not kulhu, not 100%. I think it just means you have to give the matanot. But what's he saying that we didn't say before? 1 second. Oh no, you do have to give, right. He thinks you have to... you have to give it 100%. This goes against what we just said. He thinks you have to give full matanot. And where does he learn it from? From a braita, ditanya, sure. Remember what the pasuk said. Im shor im se, right? Now it could have just said, right? So chaya zevach shor vise. Why did it say im shor im se? Matamud lomar im shor lerabot et hakilayim. That comes to give you a case of a crossbreed. Se matamud lomar. Imse lirabot et hakoi for Rabbi Lezer. Okay, so therefore you see it includes the koi, meaning 100%. For Rabbi Lezer, hi im lamali. What do you need this im for? Mibayle lechalek. Remember, we've learned this many times. What does it mean lechalek? You might have thought you're only chayav to give matanot if you slaughter both a shor and a se. So the fact that they separated with the word im comes to tell you it's either that or that, each one separately. Rabbanan lechalek menale. If they need the im to darshin the rabot to koi, where do they get lechalek? Nafkalu me'ed zovchei hazavach. What's zovchei hazavach? It means those who slaughter it, but it notice it's in the singular zevach. Zevach is one slaughter, so that proves it's only if you slaughter one animal. So what's Rabbi Lezer going to do with that? Rabbi Lezer, hi me'ed zovchei hazavach my avidle. What's it there for? Mibayle lechederava de amarava hadin im hatabach. If the Kohen doesn't get his gift, he can take it up with the Tabach. Okay? In other words, the Tabach is the one, and this is a very interesting halacha. We're going to get more into this coming up right now, which is that it really falls on the one who slaughters to give the gift. It's his responsibility. Okay, we're going to see, though, it's weird because he doesn't really own the animal, right? So if you bring him your animal, he's the one who's supposed to separate the gifts and give it to the Kohen. Okay? So here Rashi says, Dino shel Kohen litboa min ha-tabach ha-matanot, va'af al-pi she'ein ha-be'ema shel ha-tabach ela mishel acherim, even if it belongs to other people. Okay, this again begs the question that we talked about yesterday, which is how can the Kohen be Tovea? It's not like the Kohen is owed from that person, right? In other words, he wasn't necessarily going to give it to that particular Kohen. So how can a Kohen go and claim something, right? It's Mamon She'en Lo Tovim. It doesn't have anyone in particular that can go claim for it. So it's a bit of a question. Okay, Mishnah. Now, before we read the Mishnah, I'm just going to say very simply that a Bechor is patur from giving matanot. Not a Bechor person, Bechor. An animal that's a Bechor, if you remember, goes to the Kohen. What happens? If the animal has a mum, then the Kohen can sell it to a Yisrael, but otherwise, it's the Kohen's to eat. Okay? So the Bechor goes to the Kohen. So because it already goes to the Kohen, it's patur from matanot. So now we're going to get into our classic ta'arovot, right, where it gets mixed up. So you have a Bechor, shenitarev b'me'ah. One Bechor animal got mixed up with 100 animals. Now the question is, what do you do about the matanot? Because one of them is exempt from matanot. So here's an interesting case. Bizman shemea shochatin et kulam. If each individual, right, each 100 of those is slaughtered by a different shochet, potrim et kulam. They're all exempt from giving the matanot. Why? Because again, it's hamosim echavero la haraya. Each one could say to the Kohen, well, I don't know for sure that mine is the one. You know, mine isn't the one, right? Mine could be the one that's exempt, and therefore I don't have to give you matanot. Echad shochet et kulam, but if one slaughters all of them, then what are we going to say? Right? He doesn't know which one, but he knows that one of them is exempt, so potrin lo echad. So we just basically say, okay, give matanot. You can basically randomly designate one of them to be the case, right? And then you can free the others. Let's say you're a shochet, but you're slaughtering for a kohen or for an anju. Neither of them is obligated in matanot. Patur mina matanot. Then he's patur. Hamishtatefi mahem. And if you're mishtatefi mahem, let's say you have a partnership and your animal is owned by a Jew and a kohen, and a Yisrael and a kohen, then, okay, you're patur from matanot, although we'll see. There's two explanations here. Tzarich sheyirshom. You have to make some sort of mark. Now, what does this mean? So, some people say what it means is you have to, we're worried that people are going to suspect you that you didn't take matanot, so make some sort of mark on the parts that are supposed to go to the coin so people know and they don't suspect you. Okay? Then there was some, Rashi says that I think there's some special mark. He doesn't say that, but there's people who say there was a special mark that they would make on the animals.
That didn't create a mum, of course.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's a mum. No, it's not a bechor. This is a regular animal. It doesn't matter if it has a mum. It's just, right, remember, this isn't for a korban, specifically matanot when it's not for a korban. But some people say, and this is more interesting, tzarich sheyirshom means you have to split the animal in such a way that the Yisrael ends up with the parts that, you know, you can split it 50-50, but make sure that the matanot fall on the side of the Kohen. We don't want to have a situation where Yisrael ends up with the matanot. So if you share the animal with a Kohen, you have to make sure he gets the side that has, you know, cut up the meat in such a way that he has all the matanot, and you don't, so that people won't suspect you that you're eating the matanot. Be'im amar, chutz min ha-matanot, patur min ha-matanot. If you said, right, this is, if a Kohen says, Yisrael buys a behemah from a Kohen, and the Kohen says, I'm leaving the matanot for myself. In other words, I'm selling you the animal, but I'm keeping the matanot for myself, and as I'm not selling those to you, then you're patur min matanot, because they're not actually yours. Right, it makes sense. He's kind of saying, I'm selling you the animal minus the matanot. Well, then you don't have to actually, right, those are, they actually belong to a Kohen, they're not even yours. But then, right, so what would be the chidush here? Because really then, what's the difference? According to this, because anyway, they're his. Hold on a second. He doesn't have to give the matanot. He could just, what he's doing is he's giving the value of them to the Kohen. He could give a monetary amount to the Kohen instead. Amar mechor li b'nei me'ah shel parah. We saw this yesterday. If the shochet, if you say to the shochet, sell me the innards of the parah, v'hayu bahem matanot, then the person who buys it, even though normally it's on the shochet, he has to know it's not on the kohen. Ve'ino menakelo min adabim. The assumption is if you sell the innards, you're not including the price of the matanot, and therefore the matanot are basically, you get it with these matanot that are basically just supposed to be passed on to the kohen. But lekachan hemedu b'mishkal, but if you bought it by weight and the matanot were in there, then notnan lekohenu minakelo min adamim. He's allowed to say, I'm paying you for, let's say it's a 2 kilo piece of meat, I'm paying you for 2 kilo minus the value of the matanot, because the matanot you were supposed to give to the kohen, I wasn't even supposed to be purchasing them. Okay, so now the Gemara questions the beginning. The b'chor shenitarev b'mea v'amai. Yavo alav kohen mishnei tzadim v'lemale. That's if you have this b'chor mixed up with mea, the kohen has a claim on the animal no matter what. Why? Either it's a b'chor and it belongs to the kohen, or it's not a b'chor and at least he gets the matanot. So he should at least get the matanot, right? What do we say? B'chor shenitarev b'mea, and if mea shochtin, each one could say, this doesn't belong to you. But the kohen could claim, no. It's, I get it either which way, right? Okay? There's either which way I get a part of it, no matter which of the 100 it was. All the 100, at least the matanot belong to me, if not the whole animal. So, Amar Rav Hoshaya, he now explains the case in the Mishnah a little bit differently. Bibali de kohen umecharo li Yisrael b'mumo. This was a case where the kohen got the b'chor ready, but now the b'chor, it got a mum. Like I said before, what happens? If it gets a mum, a blemish, he can sell it to Israel. So he already sold it to Israel. So it no longer belonged to the Kohen. He gave up his rights to it. So that's the case where a Kohen can't claim. Otherwise, you're right. A Kohen could claim at least the matanot, because either it's a Bechor and he gets the whole thing, or it's matanot. But in this case, he doesn't get the Bechor because he already sold it. Hashochet l'Kohen u'lovei kochavim patur min ha-matanot. Belitzni, why didn't it just say kohen ba'ovei kochavim p'turim min ha-matanot? That would have been much simpler, right? If a kohen owns the meat or ovei kochavim, then they're p'turim min ha-matanot. So Amar Rava, why did they word it as the one who slaughters for a kohen of ovei kochavim? Zot omeret hadin im ha-tabach. This teaches us the halach of our Mishnah that the din is with the tab, right? The I'm sorry, the right? Did the Mishnah say this exactly? The hadin im ha-tabach. Oh, right. No, sorry. That is what we saw just before we started the Mishnah. That's why I was confused. He says, this proves what I just said right before the Mishnah started, right? Obviously, he didn't say it just before the Mishnah started, but it's exactly what we saw before the Mishnah, which was Hadini Matabach. And that's why it words it as the one who slaughters is Patur. Darash Rava, Me'eta Am, V'lo Me'eta Koni. Okay, it says in the Pasuk, from the Am, and it doesn't say Me'eta Koni. Kishuhu Omer Me'et Zobche HaZevach, Have Yomer afilu tabach kohen b'mashma. So he says, since it says me'etz of chayazavach, what does this teach you? Even a kohen, and as first it says me'eta am v'lo me'eta kohenim. So what would you think? If the obligation is on the slaughterer, let's say you're a kohen who owns a slaughterhouse, do you have to give matanot kuna? So what does he say? Because it says me'etz of chayazavach, that comes to include even a tabach kohen, because the tabach kohen, he doesn't own the meat. The meat is owned by the people, or he's going to sell it to the people. So because of that, it becomes this fascinating situation. If you're a kohen who owns a butcher shop or a slaughterhouse, you actually, right here, they kind of equate the slaughterer and the butcher, even though for us they're two different people. But it's really the shochet, the one who slaughters. If he's a kohen, he has to give matanot anyway, because it's for everybody else. Now we're going to see an interesting story about that. Ushbezichne de Rabbi Tavla. There was a guest at Rabbi Tavla's house. Kohen Hava, he was a Kohen. V'hava dachik le milta, he was very pressed for money. Ata lekameh de Rabbi Tavla, so he goes to Rabbi Tavla, right? Remember, these Kohanim had nothing to live on, really, right? They were pretty poor in general. They didn't have land. So he goes before Rabbi Tavla, Amar le, zil ishtatef bahade tabachei Yisrael. Demigo demiftere mimatanta, mishtatfe bahadach. Why don't you go into business with a Yisrael butcher, a regular Yisrael? And then what will happen? If you go bishutfut with him, now this goes against what we just said, but let's forget what we just said, that a tabach kohen is chayav. But he says, if you go in partnership with him, what will happen? He won't have to give any of the matanot, because he's in partnership. As the Mishnah said, you're in partnership with the kohen. You don't have to give. And you what will you get? Well, you'll become a partner, right? I don't know if you'll be a 50-50 partner, but at least he'll bring you in as a partner to his business and you'll make profits. So you'll say, I'm coming in, I'm not giving you any money to go in, but what I'm giving you is that every single piece of meat, you won't have to take off the matanot. That's a huge hasid. And for that, you'll get percentages and then you'll have money. It's good, right? Instead of having to take staka, it seems like a good solution. Chive Rav Nachman. Came Rav Nachman and he said, hey, you guys think you're not chayav in matanot, you're chayav in matanot. Amarle, Baharavi Tavla Patran. But wait, Rabbi Tavla told me, you can imagine the situation. What do you mean we have to give matanot? I just made this whole escape, right? And Rabbi Tavla said it was okay. Amarle, Zil Afik. Go give the matanot right now. Vilo, mafkina lach Rabbi Tavla meonech. And if not, I'm going to pull Rabbi Tavla out of your ears. In other words, imagine you never heard anything from him. Meaning, I'm really angry. You know, you're not getting out of this. Aza Rabbi Tavla kameja Rav Nachman. So now, obviously, they went back to Rabbi Tavla and said, look what happened here. And Rabbi Tavla now goes to fight their case to Rav Nachman. Amar le, my tama avi marhafi. He says to Rav Nachman, why did you do that? Amar le, dechi'ata Rabbi Acha bar Chanina midurama. When Rabbi Acha bar Chanina came from the south. Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, send the name of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Ziknei Daron Amru, Kohen Tabach Shtayim v'Shalosh Shabbatot Patur min Matanot. Mikam v'Elach Chayav b'Matanot. He said that a Kohen Tabach, this is a fascinating, right? What's the difference? The first 3 weeks. The first 2 or 3 weeks of his business, also 2 or 3 weeks of his business, he doesn't have to give Matanot. But after that, he does. What is this 2, 3 weeks? You have to give Matanot and then you do? So what's the assumption? When you first start out a business, you don't necessarily have buyers, which means what? You're going to slaughter these animals in the hopes you're going to sell them. If you don't sell them, you're going to end up eating them yourself. Well, you're not chayav in matanot. So for the first, and that's why it's 2 or 3 weeks, till you establish yourself, you're patur. So that's what Rav Nachman says. He says it's only a patur for 2 to 3 weeks.
The grace period.
Exactly. So Amalei, so Rabbi Tavla says to him, Le'avit le'mar, mi'at ke Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. So at least you should go like Rabbi Acha bar Chanina and say that what? At least give him 2 to 3 weeks grace period. You didn't even give him that. So now why is he obviously not deserve the grace period? Because what happened? He joined a pre-existing business. So there's no grace period there because they're already selling meat. So Amarle, Hanimili, Delo Kava Mischata. It's where you don't have a set business. Aval Hacha HaKava Mischata. He already had a set business and that's why he doesn't get the grace period. Which is interesting also because even that, according to that, either Rabbi Tavla didn't know this. He obviously, maybe he made a mistake. But then once, you have to assume, otherwise he wouldn't have given him this just for 2, 3 weeks. Or you could say maybe he was giving it for 2, 3 weeks just to get a little bit of money. But it could be only once he told him did he say, well, at least that, right? In other words, he maybe disagreed with him entirely, but he said, once you're going to say that, at least you should give him 2, 3 weeks. And he says, no, it's totally irrelevant. Amar Rav Chisda, Hai Kahana Delo Makrish Matanta Lehavi Bashamta Delohei Yisrael. If you have a Kohen Tabach, now you can see that they were concerned that there were these Kohanim Tabachim. Right? There's all these things. We'll get to this when we eventually start to, you know, these are all hints alluding to Heterim. I want to start with the beginning of the daf where we saw that people who were married to Bach Kohen's Kfar already weren't doing Matanot because they said, oh, we're married to Bach Kohen, we don't have to give. Here you see Kohen Tabach somehow thought maybe he doesn't have to do it. There were all these slowly, you know, it was like whittling away at the actual chiyuv d'oraita. Because we're going to have to struggle with the fact that nowadays people really don't do this, and how could that be when it's an explicit pasuk in the Torah? Okay? So these are all little hints that eventually we'll kind of piece them all together.
But it's post Beit HaMikdash. Maybe that's
it doesn't matter. This has nothing to do with the Beit HaMikdash. That's the thing. It has nothing to do. It's said in our Mishnah, the Chulin, right? It's right. Chulin. It has nothing to do with the Beit HaMikdash. It's specifically Chulin, not Korbanot. It's Ba'aretz, Wachutz La'aretz. Seems.
That's why it started to be.
Now, it could be, right. It's possible that it got associated with the mitzvot hatzliyot ba'aretz or korban related. It could be. And people mistakenly say, you know, it's a good question how this exactly happened. There's no good answer, by the way. It's all theory. Nobody really knows why people aren't doing this.
Well, they give you a hint here. I'm sorry. Because yeah. You have no concept of poor kohanim during the Beit HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. But after Beit HaMikdash, you can imagine.
Even during the Beit HaMikdash, they were poor. Remember, they only got the meat 2 weeks out of the year when they were in the Beit HaMikdash. They got the meat and the bread, you know. That was like their 2 weeks of feasting plus the holidays. But during the year, they had to rely on people taking care of them, all the truma and, you know. Right, and we saw yesterday that they could choose who they wanted to give which coin to. Let's say you were a popular coin and someone else was not a popular coin. It's a bit of an issue. I mean, we did learn that they would line up at the Goren and they would be giving out food at the Goren. That there was, you know, there were some people would give individual to their friends, and some people would kind of give to the, to, you know, some sort of place where they would, you know, divide it up to the Kohanim. But you were really reliant on other people giving you. You were, I don't think they were wealthy at all.
So I'm thinking about it.
Right.
Think of them as priests.
Right. You think of them as priests in the, this hierarchy of society that they're at the top, but financially they really weren't. Like nowadays, if you talk about hierarchies, it's actually, I taught a shiur last night and I did some stuff from the daf about social justice and trying, and someone was saying it really bothered them that there's this hierarchy in society. And someone else said, what do you mean? There's always hierarchy in society. Like, we have our own hierarchies in society. And it's interesting, in our society, it's almost often the wealthier in a higher hierarchy in certain, you know, communities. And here it's definitely the opposite, which maybe is also telling, right? We don't divide society by, you know, I mean, look, I think it's all a struggle as to why Kohanim versus other people. It's hard for us in our modern eye. But on the other hand, it's also hard for our modern eye to see, oh, people with a, you know, wealthier status or political, you know, might be in a different higher level than other people. And any kind of hierarchy is difficult. And that was their hierarchy. We have our own struggles with our own hierarchies in society. Okay. So Amar Rabba, so he says, right, so if a Kohen is not mafresh the matanot, he should be in nidoy, right? We're going to excommunicate him. Amar Rav Bar Rav Shila, hanu tabachei dehutzal, kaime b'shamte d'Rav Chista ha'asrim v'tartin shnin. The tabachim in the city of Hutzal were not taking matanot. Okay, here you already see there were butchers who weren't doing it. Already they've been in excommunication for 22 years. So l'may hilchata, what was his point of saying they were in excommunication for 22 years? If we want to say that 22 years is the outer limit of excommunication, once you've been excommunicated, what's the point of excommunication? To get you to do it. If you're not going to, after 22 years, you're not, you haven't done it yet, you're, it's hopeless. We can take off the excommunication because it's obviously not doing anything.
Wait, and won't you be back as a full member of society when you're still not doing it?
Right, so it's interesting. So if that's what you want to say, Bahatanya, there's brayta that talks about this, and it says, and this is a really strange brayta, that there's this 22-year outer limit, b'mitzvat lo ta'aseh. Aba mitzvat aseh, kegon omrim lo, aseh sukah ve'ino aseh, lulav ve'ino aseh, tzitzit ve'ino aseh, makino to ad sh'tetzeh nafsho. The limit of 22 years is only on a lo ta'aseh, but on an aseh, we continue to excommunicate you till you do it. We can even hit you until tetzeh nafsho. Generally, excommunication also came with lashes. They would give people lashes in order to encourage them. Now, this seems very strange. Normally, we give malkot for a lo ta'aseh, not for an aseh. Lo ta'aseh are worse. What's going on here? Different explanations are given. I'll just kind of give one, which is that maybe a mitzvah lo ta'aseh, you already didn't do it, like you're, it's kind of, you messed it up. But in aseh, there's always an opportunity to keep doing it, although it's not exactly true because you missed your chance here. Some people explain aseh and lo ta'aseh differently, and it doesn't mean the classic aseh and lo ta'aseh, but it doesn't really go with the pshat. Anyway, it's a little bit difficult. Ela, what does it mean? Dekadsina luhu belo atraita. Okay, they give him, they fine him without warning. In other words, until 22 years, you get fined only if you were warned. But after 22 years, we don't even need to warn you anymore. Obviously, you've been warned after 22 years. Seems like a very long time if that's the case. Kihadu Rava, kanis itma. Rava would make them, instead of giving the zroa l'chayim and keva, he made them give, instead of just the zroa, the whole thigh. Okay? In other words, in addition to that, because they didn't do it. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, kanis glima. He made them give him their cloak. V'amar Rav Chista, zroa, now we're going to talk about how you can split this up. If you want to split the matanot and give it to different kohanim, you want to share the wealth. Zro le'echad, b'keva le'echad, l'chayayim l'shnayim. This is like paying in tashlumim. How many tashlumim, right? Or how many, right? So you can only split it into four, okay? The l'chayayim are two sides. So you can give one the zro, one the keva, which are one each, and the l'chayayim one to each. They say, really, Ini? You can't split up more than that? V'haki atra v'yitzak for Yosef amar b'ma'arava pagina lehu garma garma. They would do bone by bone. So what do they answer? Ah, hatam b'detorah. That's in a big shor. In a shor, you can split it up into smaller pieces because each piece is respectable. But in a smaller animal, like a sheep, you can't split it up that much. It's going to be very not respectful what you're giving to the kohen. I'm a rabbi bar brachan, I'm a rabbi yochanan, asur le'echol mibei mashalo hormu matanoteh. You can't eat from an animal if they haven't taken the matanot. That, by the way, would mean that we can't eat meat that we buy from a butcher because they haven't taken the matanot. It's just like eating tevel, food that Trumot and Masro weren't taken out of. But v'leitel chetakavate, and why is the halacha not that way? What's the difference between this and truma? Truma, it's not clear which part of the fruits are truma. But when it comes to matznot keuna, it's obvious which parts are the parts you can't eat. Well, maybe not to your eye who sees a piece of meat, slab of meat, and won't really know. But the point is that they're already designated from before, and that's why it's not the same as eating tevel. I'm Rav Chista. Matznot keuna ein nechalim ela tzli ve'ein nechalot ela bechardal. If you're a Kohen and you get matznot keuna, you have to roast them and you have to eat them with mustard. Okay, whether it's mustard that we call mustard or something else, but anyway. Okay, now this seems strange. My time, amakra limoshcha ligdula. It says lachem limoshcha. It's these gifts are given to you. Limoshcha. What does limoshcha? It sounds like anointing of a king. You have to eat them with respect. Ligdula kaderach shamalachim ochlim. Now, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you don't have to roast it and eat it with mustard. This just means that if you want to eat it, you have to eat it in a respectful way, the way you want to eat it. If you don't have a particular preference, then do it this way. This is the default. Not that you have to, but you have to eat it, treat it nicely. Amar Rav Chista, esrim v'arba'a matanot kuna, kol kohen she'eno baki bahen, ein notnin lo matana. If you don't understand all these 24 matanot and the rules about them, you don't get the gifts. Okay, I'll leave you with this, even though I'll just tell you the Gemara is going to say, what are you talking about, and bring a bride to the contradict. It doesn't seem like you have to know all the laws of the matanot in order to receive them. But this is all about getting the matanot and treating them with respect. Okay, you should realize that they should be treated mechubad. You should prepare them properly and eat them with respect.